If you look at those sermon outlines right now, what's the title of the message? All right. So since we've been in this sermon series, I get to quiz you guys. What was Pastor Rick's sermon series? What was his about? Forgiveness. And what was Pastor Toby's? All right, and mine is confession. What's coming next week? Trust. All right, Gloria. I know she typed a bulletin. The rest of y'all just didn't know. So since we've been in this sermon series, and today we will be talking about confession. But before we go on, let us take a moment to pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for how you have already spoken to our souls. Gracious God, we need to hear a word from you. Many of us are feeling lost today and alone and unsure. Help us to understand exactly what you desire in our lives. Help us to understand how to grow and become more and more like you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, and it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. So since we are doing this sermon today about confession, I want you all to know that my first confession is I have a great challenge with using cell phones. I am cell phone silly. I cannot figure out how to work them. Amen. We've been doing this sermon series about apps for life. And when Pastor Rick began his message, he showed you his smartphone, right? And it had all them nice little pictures of all these little squares on it, is what I think when I see them. And so when we began this, I said, I don't know what an app is. I can barely work the cell phone I got. I think out of everybody in this building, I probably have the cheapest cell phone. Can anybody beat me? I have the cheapest cell phone. I don't have any apps. I can barely get on the internet. It takes about 30 minutes just to get on the internet. I can take a couple pictures and then it's over because I don't have enough storage on my phone in order to save a picture. But our phones can apparently do a lot of interesting things. But if you are like me and you are cell phone challenged, you might be able to have all those things on your phone, but you just don't know how to use them. Amen. So when I saw this series, Apps for Life, I was like, wow, I don't really know anything about those cell phone apps. I don't know how to use them. I don't know how it works. I don't know how they function. And for me, how I learn is I need a comparison. So when I looked at those little square pretty buttons on the cell phones, I said, well, what are these apps? And I looked at them, and I said, okay, apps are not new. These apps are really not new. We've had apps all along. We used to just call them the newspaper or the phone book or the operator or the information board. An app is basically something that's going to lead you to information. So when you're looking at a cell phone and you press the button on there for exercise, it will give you all the information for gyms and health and nutrition and things like that. Well, the phone book does the same thing. So when I looked at that, I said, okay, I can understand what these apps are. Apps lead us to information. Have you ever heard anyone tell you that we are in the age of information? We are the information age. We have access to all sorts of information unlike any other generation that has ever lived. It takes us seconds to find out information about things that used to take us weeks and months. Remember back in the day when you wanted information from the library, you had to actually go to the library? Remember those encyclopedias? Y'all young people don't know nothing about encyclopedias. We just had these rows of books, and you had to get the book, open the book, and figure out where it was, and hope that your information was in there. Because the encyclopedias were not guaranteed to give you all the information you wanted. But now we have information about anything you want, and guess what? You don't even have to use your computer. You can get it off your cell phone if you're savvy. It is that's how far technology has advanced, saints. And it's good to have all of this information, saints. The problem is we can have so much information, But if we don't actually apply it to our lives and use that information, it's just information. You know, saints, we can have all of the information in the applications, all the apps that we can, about where the latest gym is. Anybody got a health bike, a bicycle, a gym membership, or whatever you got to keep yourself healthy? Did anybody buy that stuff? Did you buy that thing you saw on Midnight, you know, to keep your stomach flat and tight? You know, we get all of this stuff, but if we don't actually apply it to our lives and use it, it's just useless information. You know, saints, we can have all the information about restaurants. How many of us know where McDonald's is, where Wendy's is, Burger King? We know where Red Lobster, for us, that's a little bit more elite than McDonald's. We know where every single restaurant is. We have the information. But knowing where those restaurants are, saints, will not help us to control our diets. We can know where every restaurant is under the sun, but if we don't apply health-conscious techniques to our lives, it does not matter, amen? Many of us know where our favorite stores are. How many of us got a favorite store? You got your favorite shoe store, your favorite hat store, your favorite belt store, wherever you like to shop at. But saints, knowing where every store is will not help you stay on track with your budget. You see, we can have the information for how to do all of this stuff, but if we don't actually apply it to our lives, it just makes no sense. Now, on those cell phones, they give apps for everything. Everything you want to know, you can find out in your cell phone. And as I said to you before, apps are not new. We've had apps in the past, like a newspaper, a phone book, or the Yellow Pages, amen? But the greatest app that we've always had for the entire time was this right here. It's called the Bible for some of you who haven't seen it in a while. This app right here gives us every little bit of information that we could ever need from the time we are born and to the time we take our last breath. The problem is, saints, although we know about it, we don't apply it to our lives. Now, in the book, on our sermon outline here today, let's read this scripture here from the book of James. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and forgets what he looks like." Well, I guess we all can confess today that sometimes in our lives we have just merely listened to the word and we have not done what it actually says. You see, saints, when I was preparing this message today, I looked at Pastor Rick's topic of forgiveness and I said, wow, that's one that we all like to hear about. We all want to know about forgiveness. Then I looked at Pastor Toby's topic of encouragement, and I said, wow, we all like to be encouraged. That's an easy one. We can do that all the time. And then we got to mine. And I said, Lord Jesus, why me? Trust me, I want to be sitting down there with you all on this one. Because I am just like you all. I don't want to hear about confession. I don't want to do confession. It's just not something that we feel comfortable with. Amen. And so I can confess again that many of us today, we will hear what I say. We will listen very intently, some of us. Some of us will go to sleep. But then we will get up. We will leave these nice, plush, comfortable seats in this air-conditioned sanctuary. And we will walk outside. And we will not do what we have just heard. We are all guilty of that, amen? Especially when it comes to confession. So the saints, what I'm saying right now here today is that it is time for us to all fess up. It is all time for us to admit that we know, but we are not doing. We know what we are supposed to do, but for some reason, we aren't going to that next step of actually putting it into practice and applying it to our lives. We saints are guilty of not confessing. We are guilty. Now, I know many of you will say, well, you know what? I don't actually have anything to confess. Well, unless you just passed away or something, we all have something that we are guilty of. We are all sinners. And if we would take the time to actually admit that and confess that, a lot of things would change in our lives. Many of us will look at others and say, it's not me that's the problem. It's them that's the problem. And if they weren't doing what they were doing, then I wouldn't do what I did. Well, saints, confession doesn't involve other people. It involves us. We have to be the ones to admit that we are the sinners first before we begin pointing the finger at other people. So today we're going to talk about three types of confession. Three types of confession that we are all familiar with, we have all heard before, but we have sometimes failed to put into practice. Our first type of confession that we all know about is the Catholic form of confession. The Catholic form of confession instructs its participants to go to the church, find that booth that the priest is sitting in. Anybody ever saw the booth? Okay. Find the booth that the priest is sitting in. You sit on one side, he sits on the other side, there's a screen in between you. You sit in the booth and you tell all your dirt. You confess all your sins. While the priest is sitting on the other side, And then the priest says to you, after you've confessed all of your sins, go and do some Hail Marys. Your sins are forgiven. The person gets up out of the booth, walks away, and here comes the problem. They commit the same sin again. Now that's the Catholic form of confession. We Protestants, we think we got one up on them, because you see, we don't have to be uncomfortable and go to the church and find a booth. We can stay at home. Here's our style of confession. At night, when you're ready to go to bed, get beside of your bed, get on your knees, or sit quietly at your bedside, and say your prayers, and during your prayer time, tell the Lord all of your dirt. And then, we don't have to go off and do some Hail Marys or anything like that, because the Lord apparently has forgiven us. We can get up, get in the bed, have a peaceful night of rest, get up, and here comes our problem. We too go commit the same sin again. And you see, the problem is, and why we're committing the same sin again, is because no one has truly held us accountable to our sins. In both the Catholic and the Protestant view of confession, we have all heard the word penance. Penance means that we confess our sins, we ask for forgiveness, then we get our punishment for whatever things we think we need to be punished for. We say our Hail Marys or whatever, our Fathers or whatever we think we need to do, but then we go out and we can commit the same sin again. That is why the Lord instructs us on the word repentance. Repentance has penance in it, but it asks for forgiveness. We say that we're sorry, and then here is the real solution. We don't commit the sin again. We don't commit the sin again. Now, saints, we've all heard of the Catholic style of confession. We've all heard of the Protestant style of confession, and many of us engage in it on a regular basis. But now let's look at the biblical form of confession, true confession. Read this scripture with me from Numbers 5. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, when a man or woman wrongs another in any way and is so unfaithful to the Lord, that person is guilty and must confess the sin he has committed. He must make full restitution for his wrong, add one-fifth to it, and give it all to the person he has wronged." The biblical mold of confession. Let's look at this deeply. It says, the Lord said to the Israelites. You see, saints, a lot of times we as Christians, we want to go out into the world and tell everybody what the Bible says they gotta do. Here is the situation. It says, say to the Israelites, that's the church. The Bible is for the church. It can be useful in the world, but the rules and the guidelines set forth in this Bible are for us here in the church. So those of you that don't consider yourself a Christian today, you got a free pass today. You can sit back and relax because none of this is applying to you. This is all for us that confess the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the Lord says, say to the Israelites. Then he goes on and says, when a man or a woman, you see, confession is for all of us. None of us are exempt. He says, when one of us has wronged another in any way and is so unfaithful to the Lord. You see, when we sin, that's why I love this song that we sang this morning. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. You see, when we sin, we just don't wrong another person. We hammer those nails more deeply into his hands. And we commit a sin against the Lord. So we commit a sin against the Lord, but then we also, scripture is telling us, when we commit a sin, we must go to the person that we have wronged. You see, when we get in that box as a Catholic person, when we get in that box and we confess to the priest, or when we go on our knees and we confess to the Lord, we have left one person out. We forgot about the person that we'd wronged. And you see, that's the hard part. Because many of us have wronged another person, but we have failed to go to that person and say, this is exactly what I did. And I'm sorry. How many of us today are guilty of a sin against another person? Wow, you all are way better than the first service. All y'all put your hands up. Everybody in the room should be having their hands up, both hands up. Because we have all done something wrong to somebody else. None of us can look out and say, but what they have done to me, no. Because we have been the ones that have committed sins against another person. So the Lord says, go to the person and confess the sin. And here's my favorite part. Make full restitution for what you did wrong. And they add one-fifth. I like that one-fifth. I like the one-fifth. You see, saints, if we were to really truly put confession into place, things would change in our world. A whole lot of situations would change in our world. And I know you're wondering, well, what would change? Adultery. Can you imagine if you were the one cheating on your husband, on your wife, and you had to go make restitution? If you were laying in that bed that night with that other person that you weren't supposed to be with, and as soon as you finished, you had to make a phone call on your cell phone, your smartphone, and say, sweetheart, do you know what I just did? I wronged you. It will stop some people in their tracks from committing some sins if we knew right then and right there that we had to confess. How do you make restitution when you've committed adultery? Do you get a new husband? Do you get a new wife? And then do you get a one-fifth added on to it? I don't know. It would be interesting to see. Terrence cheated on me and brought home a new husband plus one-fifth. I might not be so mad about that. You never know. You know, you got to get somebody equal. If we truly put confession into practice, it would change the way we treat our children. Child abuse would become long gone. Because if you knew that as soon as you touched that child in the wrong way, you had to confess to the child and to the family about what you just did, it would stop you in your tracks before you went to go lay your hands on that child. And then how do you make restitution to a child who you have hurt? How do you get back their innocence? How do you give them back their childhood? How do you give back the one-fifth? You see, saints, when we truly confess things, things begin to change. It would change the way our corporations work. Think about all these multi-billion dollar companies that have stolen money. You know, they go to court, they get a penalty, they got to pay, I don't know, $2,000 back, but they stole a billion. But if they truly had to confess, I stole your $1 billion, and they got to give you back a billion plus one-fifth, I think a lot of companies would change their practices. You know, it would change how we do a lot of things if we truly confessed and we really, really repented and we really brought about full restitution plus one-fifth. Things will begin to really change in our world. And I know you're sitting there thinking, Pastor Kelly, you know, God doesn't really want us to do it like that. Let's just look at this word one more time. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, when a man or woman wrongs another in any way and is so unfaithful to the Lord, that person is guilty and must confess the sin he has committed. He must make full restitution for his wrong, add one-fifth to it, and give it all to the person he has wronged. Now, saints, I know there are times when we look at the Bible and we wish we had an eraser and we could just get rid of some stuff. We could turn it around and make it all better for us and make it the way we would like it to be. Now, I know when you look at this scripture, it's written on the paper, but if you was to open the book, it would say the same thing. I'm not making this up. I like the way the Protestants get on their knees and say their prayers at their bedside and confess and get up and keep moving. But the Lord says this is true confession, that you go to the person that you have wronged and you make restitution to them. And that if we listen to our scripture reading, not only do we make restitution, if we can't get to that person, we go to the Lord and we make restitution to the church. Isn't that interesting? If the person is no longer there for you to make restitution, the Lord has provision that you can give it through the church. You see, confession would truly change some stuff, because murder would become a thing of the past. How do you kill someone and take their life? How do you make restitution? Do you give them your life? How do you add a fifth? Do you go get somebody else's from the one-fifth? If we knew that we really had to confess and really had to fess up when we did something wrong, life would change. We will begin to see some real change in our world. And saints, and I can go even further and say, what if only the Christians participated? Because I said, this is not for the world, this is for us. When the Muslims look at the Quran, I don't know what it says about confession. When the Buddhists look at their book, I don't know what it says confession about confession. But when we look at our word, this is what it's telling us. What if we only participated? Oh, wow. The world might actually see something different when they look at us. When the women sang that song this morning, they said, when they look at me, let them see Jesus. The problem is, saints, when the world looks at us, we look just like them. We telling them to confess, but we aren't setting an example. So, saints, if we were the ones that participated in confession and the world really could see something different in us, they'd be running into the churches saying, I want to be like them. You see, because when they do something wrong, they fess up, they admit it, and then they do something to make things right. I want to be like them. You see, confession is all through the Bible. It's even a part of the plan of salvation. If you ever have heard Pastor Toby express the plan of salvation, she says it's as simple as ABC. A, accept. B, believe. C, confess. Before we can receive true salvation, saints, before we can grow in the Lord, we must confess that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Isn't that interesting that we can't go one step further with Jesus Christ until we've confessed our sins? So I know you're still thinking, Pastor Kelly, we truly do not have to do this application. We've gotten along just fine in our lives without it. We're doing just fine, just praying on our knees and confessing to the Lord. Why we got to change things now? Many of us don't want to use the confession application because we know what we might lose. You see, saints, if some of us really fessed up today and told about our sins, we would be saying, the world will hate me. We would be saying, my family will disown me. Some of us have done so much dirt, we would be saying, I'm going to go to jail for this. Some of us will say the words, if I tell what I've really done in my life, I will lose everything. Some of us don't want to use this confession application because we are afraid that we will suffer tremendously if we truly admit who we are and what we have done. But saints, it is not me imploring upon us to use this application. God himself is saying, do not be merely listeners to the word, but doers of his word. You see, saints, many of us think that we are taking a mighty big risk when we confess our sins. And we think that if we truly confess our sins, we will somehow, some way go down in life. Instead of being up here, we're going to go down to the way, way bottom. But Scripture has told us over and over again through the stories of the people in the Bible that when we truly confess our sins, when we truly receive forgiveness and repent, we receive spiritual and eternal blessings. Spiritual and eternal blessings. You see, we cannot go further in Jesus Christ until we have truly fessed up about our lives and our mess. Until we have truly explored the deep, dark passages of our heart and said, this is who I am. And you see, we have examples in the Bible. We have the example of King David. Here is this king. He had everything. He had money. He had status. He was married. He was doing great. Then one day, he looked over a balcony. And he saw a woman named Bathsheba. And he committed adultery. How do we know about David's sin? Because David had all the money in the world. He could have covered this sin up. We would have known nothing about it. Life would have went on. Just like all the stars do today. They cover up their mess and life goes on. How do we know about David's sin? Is because David confessed. And I know you may be sitting there thinking, oh, somebody else wrote that story. David didn't truly write that down himself. But some of the passages that describe his confession are just too detailed. It describes him standing on a balcony. How do we know he was standing on the balcony? He could have been standing on the lower level of his house. Only a person that was there would confess that I was on the balcony that day and I looked down and I saw Bathsheba. How do we know that he lusted after her? How do we know about the crimes he committed after that? Because he confessed. And then when he confessed, he was so deep in his confession that he wrote Psalm 51. The sinner's prayer, the sinner's psalm. And what he said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. You see, David understood that when he truly confessed, when he just laid it all before the Lord, that he was going to receive true spiritual and eternal blessings. He knew that the Lord was going to create in him a new heart, that he was going to get a right spirit, and that he was going to get the joy of thy salvation. But none of those would have happened if David did not first confess. We also have the example of King Solomon. King Solomon was doing all kind of interesting dirty deeds. But he confessed. How do we know? Because it's right there in the Word for us to read about it today. And when King Solomon and when King David both confessed, they didn't go down in status. In fact, they went up. And King David was called a man after God's own heart. How can this sinner be called a man after God's own heart? Because he confessed. Because he put it all out on the line and said, Lord, my relationship with you is more important than me trying to hide this secret and act like I'm not doing any dirt. Then we have the example of Peter, the one who betrayed Jesus Christ. He could have went along and said, you know, I don't know nothing about you, Jesus. I didn't do that sin. Jesus came back off the cross. He could have said, I don't know what happened. I wasn't even there. I didn't see nothing happen. But he laid it all out on the line, and he knew it, that he had done wrong, and he confessed his sin. And because he confessed his sin, the Lord said, Peter, you will be my rock upon which I will build my church. It would not have happened without the confession. So you see today, saints, that if we truly want to go to the next level in our relationship with God, if we truly want to be more than just hearers of the word, it all begins with confession. And I know we are sitting here again thinking, well, Pastor Kelly, I still don't have that much to say. It wasn't so bad what I did. I haven't met a sin yet that won't keep you out of heaven. All of them will keep you out of heaven. So my final question, saints, is what will you do after this message today? You see, like I said in the beginning, we all have the information. But if we do not actually apply it to our lives, it's just information. So as I close this sermon right now, and I open the doors of the church, I invite you all to come up today. And not just come up with your general things and issues, but really come up with a specific confession. Think about the person that you have wounded, not who has wounded you. Think about the person you have offended, the person you have betrayed. And maybe you might want to come up with that person and say, I'm sorry for what I did to you. This is how I plan on making it up to you right now. So as we rise, let us take a moment to pray. Gracious God, help us not to be just listeners. Help us to have the courage to go one step forward and actually do what you have called us all to do. Lord, none of us in here are completely clean. We've all failed you. We've all failed somebody else. And until we actually fess up, Lord Jesus, we can't go any further in our relationship with you or with that other person. So gracious God, as we prepare to sing this invitational hymn, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Let us truly apply your words to our lives. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen.